It's the Two Johnnies Podcast. Two Johnnies Podcast. Two Johnnies recording a podcast.
Hello, hello, hello.
You're welcome to the Two Johnnies Podcast, bringing you all the mayhem and news from the world of the Two Johnnies.
I'm Johnny B.
And I'm Johnny Smacks. Welcome to podcast 134, coming to you like the waft of a fry up the stairs after you've had a feed of creamy pints the night before. On this week's podcast, there seems to be a few vacancies in Irish politics, given a spate of recent resignations. We ask the question, why would you bother being a politician?
And he's shot as many children as he has grey squirrels. But Noel Furlong will be here with the news.
She once overheard a Two Johnnies Podcast fan saying she has a fair rump on her. She hopes it was a compliment. Maura is here with her mystery topic.
And as traditional as your mother asking you where you're going, what time will you be back at, and who are you going there with? That's if you're going anywhere at all. Even though you're 27 years of age, we run off the podcast with our
Yurts and Dirts
for the week.
Before commencing with proceedings, though, matters arise from last week's podcast.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Anonymous got in touch, adding to the pissing story from last week. There we go. Just because we're talking about politics doesn't mean we won't drag it right back down.
What's on the clock? I'd say we're, a minute and a half?
There has been a goal, an early score. Yeah, we're
just one minute 19.
Okay. Well, there was a fellow last week who pissed himself during the leaving cert. Anyway, right? The junior cert. So this guy had a story in college, right? The city will remain anonymous, he said. It was our first night out, having moved into a new gaff, and we lied to the landlord, saying we were professionals. So it wasn't the bog standard student house, where it was warmer outside than inside. And this house even had a few paintings on the wall, giving it that extra luxury. However, cue the first night out, where we hit the town, and the time came to head home. Now, home time for us was after the local chipper had closed up for the morning so they could start getting ready for breakfast. Outside the gaff on the main street, we got sidetracked and got talking to these two ladies, two twins. A bottle of wine was whipped from their bag, and next thing we were in the kitchen talking shite. A while later, one was asleep on this old material armchair while the other got busy with one of the lads. I hit the labba alone, but pissed as a parrot, so I wasn't long falling asleep. Following morning, we could hear the two having a conversation. I arose with the head on me like a possessed budgie, and a little worse for wear, after last night's consumption was still running through my blood. A good morning conversation turned into one where the girl who slept on the armchair had pissed all over it like an old Jack Russell. All over a salmon-coloured material armchair and us only in the gaff one day. The two left here and we were Googling how to get a cushion cleaned and a washing machine big enough to stuff it into it. We hit off to the laundry with the cushion in a bag, making an excuse to say we spilled a bottle of wine on it.
Savigny piss.
cheap wine, lad. Anyhow, we returned with enough cleaning material to disinfect the chair. We began cleaning, and what did we discover? Your one had left her phone behind her. Here was us thinking we'd never have to encounter these two women again. A few phone calls later, and it was arranged to return the phone. They arrived back to collect the phone, and to our horror, they were still in the same pissy clothes from the night before. The chair was cleaner than they were. We can say a lesson was learnt that night. Up tip, up riding. What is the lesson? Maybe don't meet women, you know, outside the chipper at breakfast time.
Who whip a bottle of wine out her bag. Yeah.
You never know where she was going. Mass.
Oh my god, I would have turned the phone, lad, straight into the fire.
Are you saying to my phone? No.
No.
Swallowing it.
Sledgehammer. Last week's mystery topic, office relationships. Neve said, hi guys, just on Mara's mystery topic of getting off with a co-worker. I started a new job a few years ago. On the first day, I was introduced to everyone in the office, and well, there was one absolute ride in the office. Safe to say, his name was the only one I remembered that day. Moving on a few weeks, I was trying to chat to this lad, but he was very shy. Roll on the Christmas party. I wasn't drinking, I was driving. He had a few beers and we got some chat. I slid into his DMs I am an independent woman, she says, and go for what I want.
Yes.
And boom, we were together. When everyone in the office found out a few months later and the slagging commenced, he got spooked and we split up after 3 weeks.
Oh, no.
Then we got back together and now we're 3 years together, living together and have a little dog. Oh, I would say if you're going to dip your pen in the company ink, be very careful, because those 3 weeks we had split up were absolute torture. I had to tell my teammates so they'd stop slagging me, and it was awkward. I found my actual other half in that job and I have never been as happy. So be cheerful, it can work out.
If you work in the kind of office where you call the people you work with teammates.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't work down the country. She's definitely in Google or Facebook or somewhere. Like.
Enemies they are down the country.
Okay, team, on boy racers and driving. Stuart was in touch to say back in 2004, I had an Evo 6. Yes, a boy Stuart, a boy kid. Mad joke. And I brought it in from HKS Factory. They make turbos in Japan. Nice. It was built as their demo car. Anyways, one night we went to a cruise in Clonmel and the meeting spot was Dunn Stores on the Davis Road.
Glamour.
We know it well, Stuart. My car had a lot of interest in it. And I'd start it every now and again and rev it. Sometimes she'd throw out a blue flame.
Class. Was she a gas cooker?
Stuart and sausages out, no. This night, anyway, I did it but didn't realise there was a Garda standing behind me. I roasted the leg off him. And when I realised what I'd done, I took off. Next thing I knew, there was a Garda Toyota Yaris chasing me. I drove around the roundabout four times, and at one stage, we had gone around so quick, we caught up to the arse. We beeped the horn and then went home. We were back in Carrick at about 6 minutes later, and the car was hidden in a calf house. Guard swung by the next day, and I told him that I'd sold the car a few days beforehand. I was blessed. Another time, I was passing through Kildare, and I hadn't spotted the speed limit sign. I flaked up the road and just before Mala, I was stuck behind a lorry. 2 minutes later, this Garda Jeep came flying behind me. So me and the lorry pulled over. A Garda got out and pulled me out of the car. She said I was doing 40 in a 60, or she said I was doing 60 in a 40 zone. She had been chasing me through three different parishes and told me to turn off the car. The car was fitted with a turbo timer and would automatically turn off after a minute. She lost the plot when she looked into the car and saw two of my pals were in there sitting back watching Kilnascully on the DVD player in the dash. We passed eight more squad cars that day on the way to Tralee, and each one turned around and followed us to the next town where another one would take over. Oh my God.
Oh, that's...
I sold the car a year later to some prick in Dublin. He wrote it off 2 days later.
And I'm not saying that behaviour is condoned, but it is quite funny. If you're getting that much harassment though from the guards, you'd nearly get yourself a Yaris.
Yeah, but man, he believed.
Yeah.
He believed.
He was
in the turbo.
Yeah, he did. Well, lads,
we're redacting this person's name.
Yeah. Just said I'd share a story about a friend of mine from Ardfinnan that Johnny B may or may not know of. Okay, I see why we've redacted the name. So this goes back to 2009 when we were all in 5th and 6th year, when you could get away with things like this in the Colosta and Care. There were a few of us friends who were interested in anything with an engine and were mad to get in the road for a bit of independence. And at 16, we all got small motorbikes. You can imagine 5 or 6 young lads driving around on bikes that sound like hairdryers with nothing but a provisional license. Some Aldi bike gear and €10 petrol would get you to Killarney and home again. The crack was mighty and we were always spinning around. This is where redacted name comes in, who was a bit older and driving at Lanza at the time and decided to join us and get a bike as well. Obviously, he had the bike and was driving it before he got the provisional bike license, as you do. One day, one of the lads was heading into Clonmel and we're going to call him Steve, flew past him. Top speed, 110 kilometres an hour, heading home. So he turned around and followed him. He met up with him and Steve was in foul humour. So what has transpired is Steve had driven the bike into Clonmel to do his theory test for the bike in the centre. And then he had the balls to bring the helmet and gear with him up to the test centre. Asked the woman behind the counter for use of a locker and put the gear in front into the locker right in front of her in the test centre. Unfortunately, he went into the boot and if you can believe it, he failed the theory test for the motorbike. So he gets told by this woman in the test centre, size and then proceeds to get the motorbike helmet and jacket out of locker, give her back the key, go outside and drive the motorbike home again. You definitely wouldn't get away with that today. He continued to drive for another couple of months until he passed the test. It was a bit mad all right back then that a 16-year-old who didn't have to do any lessons or courses could legally sit up and drive a bike unaccompanied. Different times.
Different times, yeah. I went to school on the back of a 125 for a year. My mate down the road drove a motorbike.
I drove a scrambler one time and fell off it and it ripped my tracksuit bottoms off me. Like completely off me. Like I got some doing.
That was it then.
That was never again. A mother slapped the head off me.
Pets in the bedroom on Morris topic. I was out on the sesh one night in a town in Offaly and I met a girl. We were getting on great. She was a bit older than me. That didn't bother me. So I cracked on. We ended up shifting. One thing led to another and we ended up going back to her house. She told me she had a dog, but it was in the other room. We went upstairs and were getting down to business in her room. I was in full flow, going like an Energizer bunny, when the door, which was ajar, opened and what can only be described as a half sheepdog, half bear came into the room. It was the biggest dog I've ever seen. It proceeded to lick and sniff my arse while I was in full flight. The girl I was with just told the dog to go out, but all it did was sit at the door and stare at me. To say it was a little off-putting is an understatement. I lost the horn in a matter of seconds. I politely finished her off and got a taxi home with a full bag and the feeling of just being violated. So all in all, dogs should not sleep in your bed. I think I was in his spot and that's why he was just sitting at the doorway staring at me.
Oh, I don't even want to say what's going through my head.
I don't want to hear what's
going. No, you don't. You don't. Nobody does. And another anonymous was in touch. Do pets in the bedroom kill the mood? Yes, they do, this person says. A few years ago, I was living in Australia. I'd met an Aussie lad a couple of times and ended up going home with him one night. Anyway, I got back to the house where he had two dogs. When we got in the door, he greeted them like they were his children, apologizing for abandoning them for the evening. We got to the bedroom, lights were off, and we were getting down to business. Next thing, I could feel one of the dogs rummaging beside me. He kept going, aware of the dog in the bed. It didn't seem to bother him one bit. The dog was literally on top of me and was licking my face. I had to say, please stop. I can't do this with the dog here. He couldn't understand why I was so bothered. Eventually, he put the dog outside the room and closed the door, but the moment was well and truly gone. I never met the lad again, but the story gets better. About a week later, I noticed a rash on my back. It wasn't going away. And it was getting worse. I had bought different creams at the chemist, but nothing worked. It went all the way up my neck, and next thing, it was on my face. I decided to go to the GP to sort it out. What was it? Only fucking ringworm. The first thing the doctor said to me was, were you around any animals lately? So please, people, keep the pets downstairs or in the shed.
She got ringworm off a dog.
Off a dog, yeah. Bad buzz. Or, there's a good possibility she could have got it off the animal she was actually riding.
Impotence.
Oh, come on.
Here we go. Anonymous emailed the podcast. Dear Johnny's, dear Maura, just catching up on the last few episodes here, where Maura's mystery topics have ranged from finishing early to left being unsatisfied. Well, I almost wish that I was writing into you about an early finish, because as you alluded to on the show, my story relates to something even more frustrating. So as I'm sure plenty of people understand, lockdown was a long and lonely time for a lot of singles out there. Neil the intern is nodding across the room at us here.
He's got a fucking massive bicep on him, isn't he?
Boredom brought me back to Tinder and I actually ended up really hitting it off with a guy. We were texting away for months and when we were eventually free to travel again, I had a couple of responsible, socially distanced dates with him. He was right crack and the sparks were flying in person. So by the time the next date came around, I was hoping to get a little less responsible. Fast forward through an enjoyable warm-up and after my months of no physical contact, I was pretty much ready to jump on this chap. I'd put in the effort and worn the good lingerie.
Lingerie,
as Johnny Smacks would say. The good undies. Let's just say his response to it being revealed was disappointingly limp. I tried my best to get the ball rolling. Still, No response. Getting desperate, I started bobbing up and down and all around. Not so much as a twitch. When we eventually admitted defeat and he rolled away, you might think he tried to apologize or say something to boost my ego. Nope. He immediately responded, I really hope I don't hear this story on the Two Johnnies now. I'm not sure which of us found the whole experience more frustrating, but I'm hoping Maura enjoys the fact that it's not just the Two Johnnies that have the fear of her mystery topics now.
Oh, that is brilliant. Nothing kills the mood like talking about us in the bedroom.
Surely you have to say, it's not you.
Yeah. It's my willy.
Yeah. Come on, lads.
Another great topic here. Didlaws.
I was going to say, you know, something about Viagra. But lads, there's a photo going around on WhatsApp this week.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure everyone has seen it. Every lad's WhatsApp group. It's like, sorry, I can't come training. Me Mickey's at me. And he's like, what you mean? It's a screenshot of a chat, Maura. Mm. And it's like, well, I was with this one and I took a load of Viagra and then I rode her three times. And then there's a photo of this lad's Mickey and it looks like a rugby ball.
Oh, my God. Yeah. If that's real, that guy's in a lot of trouble. Now, something else that looks like that.
We'll send it on to you, Maura.
Dear Johnnies, I was listening to your episode about diddlaws and it reminded me of a time that my ex-boyfriend, she has in brackets here, we were in a long distance relationship, tried to make a dildo of his own penis intended for me to use during our times apart.
What?
Is he down there with cement, like, you know what I mean? Just going, pour it on, Tommy, pour it on.
Making a cast.
Yeah.
Making a mold.
He bought a make your own dildo kit at an event.
What?
Kind of event. Is he at Man Summer's party or some sort of a Tupperware party here or something?
Nice.
Anyway, he botched the first attempt and the mixture was too runny. However, he was so invested in completing the task that he went to a nearby art store and bought a rubber sculpture molding kit instead. He mixed that up, put his junk inside the mixture, but the art molding kit wasn't designed for penises and had a much longer setting time. His penis proceeded to go completely flaccid. He tried to salvage any hardness by tying a scrunchie around his penis. It didn't work. And when the mold finally set, it was of a limp, disfigured remnant of a penis. Somehow, he was still very proud of what he had made and surprised me with it when he flew over to visit me. When he pulled it out, I was horrified and wasn't sure what it was at first. You'll understand after seeing the picture. I've had it sitting on my bedside table for years, never used it once, although it did have a vibrating bit inside that I would remove to use separately, since I couldn't bear to look at the dildo itself. I have since decided to throw it away. Oh my God, and the picture is attached.
Okay, the head has kind of retained its shape.
Yeah, well, he's circumcised anyway. This is the good news, judging by that photo.
The rest of it now is...
It's a bit scary.
It's like the tube of a tire on a bicycle.
Let's get back to something real, man, will
Hashtag save our chicken rolls.
Thank you.
Lads, Jesus. I'm living in the absolute arse end of nowhere in Australia. Catching up on the podcast over here last few weeks. Not fully up to date on the whole chicken roll thing, but all your Australian listeners will know about Cafe Chappuccino's in Bondi Junction, Sydney. It's run by a Turkish man. You can tell he has never stepped foot in Ireland in his life because he comes along with an authentic, what's the crack, lads? Welcome to everybody. $13.90, which is about €8.60 in today's money.
In Irish money.
Outrageous!
Big John emailed the pod.
Big John. Actually, yeah, I was at that cafe in Bondi Junction. Got a nice chicken sandwich all the same.
Did you?
Yep.
Well, lads and Maura, the Save Our Chicken Rolls campaign is a cause that I certainly get behind. I have been given out about the rising price in deli food since God was a boy. I'm writing this email from a porcelain throne in D4 where it's easier to find smashed avocado, pear and goat's cheese on a sandwich than it is a simple chicken fillet in a roll. They haven't a clue up here. Thank God I'm only working here for a few weeks. Then it's back to the beautiful surroundings of Biffoland. And he says, Johnny Smacks, step out for belts. That is, of course, awfully. I just wanted to let you know the Trojan work I'm doing out here in the war that is chicken rolls. This may be either very controversial or very, very smart. But sure, as the Dan himself said, we all have to do our own little bit in our own little way. On many occasions, I've been in a deli, mouth-watering at the glass and tactically planning how much I can squeeze in the roll without your one going too hard on the sticker. But then there are days where I go for an old reliable, chicken, lettuce and mayo. In no world should that ever cost me more than €4. Whenever I get a roll and get landed with some outrageous price on it, that's when I draw a line and say fuck them. They are not getting that money off me. And what's more, I'm going to cost them money too. You see, I'd be like Smacks and too shy to hand it back and give out, but I would cut the back off them afterwards. This is when I wander down the less frequented aisles like the toiletries or the cereal aisle, and depending how pissed off I am, I will either leave the roll on the shelf and walk straight out the door, or I might hide it in at the back. One day, I was so pissed off with €6.50 for a roll in a Super Value in Dublin, I went to the HB fridge, and while I was looking in it, oh no, I, quote, dropped, unquote, my roll in. I was so upset, I walked out and across the road to Accentra, got the exact same roll for €3.75. Yes, Johnny, you said it. There is only one word for it. Outrageous. Liv Moff, he says, they think they're going to fool me. I would love to see the look on their faces doing a stock take when they're 20 chicken rolls down and they're all behind the tampons on aisle 5. Anyway, I just said I would share some of my war tactics with the fellow soldiers fighting the cause. Hashtag save our chicken rolls. And he says, thanks a lot, lads, for the extra podcast. Stepping up the game during this shit show that is 2020. Hopefully Sunday soon we'll be able to be sopping pints in the Shamrock Lounge or even the summer camp in Lanzarote. Oh, yeah. From we'll get that going when this shit's over. That's from Big John.
Fair play to you, Big John. Yeah. Right, who's going to get the mug? Mara, who do you like for the mug?
The dildo's fair crack. Cause
yeah. Oh
my God.
You know, adding photos will definitely add to your...
Yeah, we'll stick that photo in the Patreon. Yeah. Everyone can have it. Good.
Put that photo in the Patreon. Yeah, people get sick.
Yeah.
Just don't watch it while they're eating.
We're going to get on to Casey Sports to see if he can make a range of these.
Melted dildos at Casey Sports, where you can buy loads of Two Johnnies merch. Okay.
Dildo lady.
Dildo lady. Email podcast at thetwojohnnies.ie with all your details, and Maura will get it out to you.
Can't believe that.
Okay, the weekly roundup. What's been going on? A momentous week.
Oh, nothing's been going on.
A momentous week in Two Johnny's land. We are tired and emotional. And we haven't even... We're recording this podcast on a Friday, which is the day after our TV show aired. We haven't even managed to have an actual drink yet. But by God, this weekend are we going to make up for it. Oh, we're going to give it some rattle.
Now, the two of us are wrecked today. We were just... I don't know, like...
I feel like I've played in a county final. And yeah. I'm just like, I gave everything and we won in the last second.
I wouldn't say we were worried, but you're always, when you're outside your comfort zone, how are people going to receive it? But look, it's a great TV show. It's got a massive reaction and we got the viewership figures. It was massive.
Yeah, it's some relief. When we got the viewership and everyone else was freaking out, the producers and stuff were like, what a result. I was like, yeah. We always knew it, but we didn't.
There was more people watching us than the Irish soccer team. So I kind of half feel bad for them.
Well, to be honest, just more entertainment in our show. Well, like, you know, we should just get Shane Duffy in our show, like headbutting things. It'd probably be as entertaining as...
Come on, Ireland. They're going to get it back, John.
I hope so. I hope so, because I do like the soccer.
So thanks so much to everybody who tuned in and the millions of messages we got.
My arse has recovered, for those of you worrying about my fall in episode one. Very painful at the time. And there was a lot of stuff edited out. There was I had a bit of a strop after it, you know. Nobody was taking me serious. And then like A-bomb, the girl was like, are you hurt?
For realsies?
For realsies. I was like, Johnny, get me a drink. I don't know why I wanted a drink. Like, stuff was going to come out my arse. I don't know why I wanted to put something else in, but that was good. And I got a lot of slagging over my handshake with the rapper, Randy.
Maura, did you see Johnny trying to shake hands with the rapper?
I missed out that bit. I must watch that back now. So I was still probably laughing at Smacks falling on his arse.
It's near the end of the episode, and like Randy Marks, who laid down a verse on one of our songs, he's finishing up and he's like, that was dope. And then like he puts out his fist for me to fist bump, and then I kind of went to handshake, and then he went to handshake, but he's got no thumb. He's only got four fingers, so he kind of gave me the Spock sign. Like, you know, and then I kind of half grabbed his hand, then I panicked. And then I went for a fist pump, and then he kind of banged against my hand, and then I just hugged him.
It looks like they were playing rock, paper, scissors, Mara.
It lasts around 20 seconds, like, or 15 seconds maybe on camera, but it felt like 2 days when I watched it back.
We rewinded and watched it about 7 times last night. It's brilliant. And that version of Shift with Randy should be on our Spotify by now on Monday morning.
Yeah, it's been released as an actual single, so I think it's going to be on iTunes and Spotify, isn't it?
Yep, so tune in. Randy's verse is, as he, we asked him, describe your rapping style, and he said, smooth.
He also asked us, did we want weed when we went to visit his studio. I was like, no, lad, if you have Tato, we'll take that. Like,
how much weed the boys want? Have you a kettle?
What you didn't see on camera was he was on about Patron. And then we done a shot of it. But like, he asked me to pour it. I didn't know how much to pour in a shot, like. And it must have been expensive stuff, because I poured a good blob into my glass. He was like, whoa, man, shit's expensive. I was like, all right. I thought like he was a big rich rapper. Like, it didn't matter. Fucking drink the bottle. But it was great. And the episode got received. And thanks very much to everybody who gave us such lovely comments. The next episode of The Two Johnnies Do America, that's going to air on RT2 next Thursday, the 10th of September at 9:30. Same time, same channel. It'll also be available internationally on the player to live stream. And you can catch up on the player then for 7 days.
Yeah,
and
there will be no geo-blocking.
Yeah.
They have resolved that issue. Mar was on to him. No, Mar takes no guff from nobody.
Yeah, she threw a couple of fucks in. On this week's episode, we're doing yoga with an Irish actress, and we're visiting a brewery. You know, two Johnnies in a brewery. We also learn how to be a mermaid. Oh my God.
I know, yeah. Just when you thought 2020 couldn't get any worse. It's fine.
Yeah, and you can also look at my big belly in that one with the mermaid, which I will be behind the couch for.
Johnny's a little upset, Maury. We had to do some topless scenes, and since filming, you're down about 2 stone.
Yeah, I've lost 2 stone since filming. Well, I tell you, there's nothing that's going to get you in shape like looking at yourself trying to be a mermaid with stick tight stuff. Oh, for fuck's sake. I'm actually thinking about not watching next week's episode, I got to be honest.
You need to pixelate your belly, lad.
Oh, I kept saying it then to your man, like the cameraman. I was like, listen, do you fucking shoot me from the chest up, lad? And he was like, oh, no, I got you, I got you. Do you know what? He didn't have me. He did. And even when we watched the edit, I was like, cut out that bit of me, like. And your man was like, yeah. It's not been cut out because it's in the ad. So it hasn't been cut out. I'm absolutely sick. But also, thanks a million to everyone who signed up to the Extra Podcast. That's out every Thursday on Patreon. We have great crack over there. It's wild. And this week, the people on Patreon got to meet the one and only Chalk Ice. He was in the studio for an interview, and we asked him about the time he went to Clonmel to buy power tools. I think we told a story once that you and Liam, who's your twin brother, went into Clonmel to buy tools.
What, Edmund Chalk Ice, what did you come back with?
2 replica WWE beds.
And for anyone listening who thinks like that device were 15, 16 at the time, what age were you?
So around 22, yeah. But it was definitely worth it just to see Johnny B's face, and he walked in the door and I said, this is a house of champions.
That was the beautiful tones, the humble but delicious man known as the Chalk Ice. Now,
it's fair to say there has been a bit of political upheaval in the last few weeks. The new government has only formed since June, but we're already on our third Minister for Agriculture. And now Big Phil, he's gone from Europe. So this got us thinking, would we actually be a politician? And could we do a better job than what's there?
I'm sure it couldn't be any worse.
That's for sure. I think the big question is, though, like, Why politics? Why does someone sit down and go, I want to be a politician?
Money.
Honestly, I don't want to put a slur on all of our politicians. And yeah, there has been great ones as well. And there still is, you know. But it's like playing for a team that's constantly bottom of the table. You don't want to be, they can't win.
No.
If you're in power... No one's ever going to be happy. Like, I, as long as I live, I can't recall anybody going, do you know what? The government we have are brilliant.
Yeah, there was probably ratings.
Yeah, there was probably a few years under Fianna Fáil where everybody thought everything was great. Back in the boom,
they were borrowing from the future.
Yeah, they were going pretty sound, man. And then it's like, shite, they took me house.
Pretty sound to have a conservatory. I had to give it back in the recession. Yeah.
It's crazy, but that's the thing. I don't think you can win, and then you're probably going to be more liked and more revered around the place for being in opposition. But then when you're in opposition, you can't really affect much.
You can't get a whole pile done.
Yeah. So just go up and roar and shout and try and get a state pension and you retire. And that's basically it. People might like you.
And why do you think people do it?
I think there is probably genuine people who want to make a difference in their locality. But again, I would question that. I think a vast majority of it must be ego.
Ego has to come into play, I feel.
They must want...
Well, you definitely a load of confidence to be able to go up and ask like 20,000 people to vote for you. Let me at it.
But when you think about it, like some of them have some neck, like, you know what I mean? They're going around canvassing to your door, like.
Yeah.
And you're going, you've done a fairly shite job, lad. Don't be, you know. You're part of it too, like.
I find it hard to cold call people. Never mind, like, knocking on doors.
Yeah, but, like, just because you got, like, a path laid outside SuperValu doesn't mean, you know, I can forgive you for bankrupting the country. That's the way it is.
Maura, why do you think people become politicians?
I think, first off, there's a lot... In a lot of cases, it's family tradition. So if your dad was a TD, you know, sometimes sons or daughters are groomed to take that seat eventually. Other people think that, you know, there's something I could do here. I could, you know, maybe get more jobs into the town. Some people just love the profile of it. Like, you know, they love being a county councillor and then, oh, they want to be a TD and then they're absolutely gunning to be a minister and lobbying to be a minister. And then the ultimate dream is to be Taoiseach. So I think, I don't really know why people want to do it though when you look at how many hours they do. Because at the end of the day, a TD's job is to devise legislation for the country. Is you're sitting in Parliament and you're to go, right, here are the laws, here's what we should spend the exchequer, what we're taking in a tax. That's your job. It's not to be going around, you know, fixing potholes, going to funerals, going to committee meetings. Yeah.
I do not understand why people go to so many funerals. Like, I have never voted for anyone because they came to a funeral.
Yeah.
No, maybe that's just me. I'd be weird, whatever. I'd be like, what are you doing? But fellas were like, sure, I know him. He came to the funeral. He shook my hand. And he'd be like, yeah, but like, you know, the IMF came and took all our money. It's like, ah, but you know what I mean? He came to the funeral.
Yeah, people remember strange things. Like, I remember working in a job and the place flooded. And a local politician put on a pair of waders and walked in around. And everyone was like, do you know, he's doing his bit. I didn't see him out the back with me in the butcher room, like getting basins of water and throwing it out.
Yeah. Put a pair of gloves.
But he was in there. So, you know, I guess that maybe he helped, but like.
Show a face.
He showed a face anyway, like, and people were like, top man. Yeah, he's a top man. No, I don't know what he did, but. Go on, Mara, sorry.
There is a politician called Boxer Moran around Athlone, and he has, because that loan's prone to flooding, I think he owns about like 6 water pumps himself that, you know, he goes round. Yeah.
It's genius. But like, I think I do have an actual respect for politicians. Okay. In their summer, there is. It is a tough job and it's pretty much thankless.
Oh, you'd be fair busy.
Yeah. You're always on the go. You're always busy. I'd say most politicians are never at home. You know, they're out most nights of the week doing something and you obviously have to go to the door.
People like feel like they can own you.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Straight away, as soon as you become, elected. even maybe a county councillor to a certain degree, but certainly a TD, as soon as you become a TD, you need to live by a different set of rules.
Yeah.
And this is, you've put yourself out there now, you got to abide by all the rules, which like is gas because the people who went to the golf dinner are like, sure, like, you know, We went to the golf dinner, like, what about it? Like, I'm not resigning. And it's like, lad, ye made the rules. If ye can't follow them, how the fuck do you expect us to follow them?
Yeah.
So, like, as soon as you... You better be squeaky clean, because if you're going to be a politician, you're out there and people are going to try and cut you down, whether that's right or wrong in some cases.
You're held to a fair high standard. Yeah. Like, somebody is done for, like, speeding and because they work in, like, the health service and they have to resign.
Yeah. But that's the thing, like...
If this was America, there'd be no way anyone would be resigning.
Do you think if Trump got done at, like, golf care, that he'd just turn around and be like, I'll sack all of you. I'm not resigning. I'll sack ye before I go.
I'm going to fire America.
but that's the thing. And you said it there. Like, I'd say if you had, like, you know, a ticket for parking, you could probably never be Minister for Transport in the way we are in the country and the way we are currently now in any form of life.
No, I don't think we're that bad. I think maybe there is an element of cancel culture, but I think people are slowly kind of coming around to that it's not necessarily as a good thing that we think it is. You know, it's about holding people to account. And, like, it's not like the people who resigned, they resigned their positions of power. They're still, like, Dara Cleary is still a TD, but he's just
still
not
getting the wages, culture anymore.
He is, yeah. But it was, I suppose it was a symbolic slap in the hands. And he admitted himself. He knew, he knows he should have known better. You know, he was on the... He was on the 6 o'clock news on Tuesday saying, you know, how COVID loves to party and giving out about young people going to parties. And then there's Thursday, he's at a dinner with 80 people, which had a partition up the middle of it, you know.
Not to get bogged down in that one incident, right? Yeah. But I'll put it this way. Since the GAA have put a ban on matches, right? And, like, me and Johnny would have went to loads of matches.
Yeah.
During, say, before they brought in the ban and it had to be behind closed doors. And, like, we'd go off to matches and watch them and we were really enjoying them. Like, we were lucky to get tickets off our club and stuff like that. Club were good to us. And when the ban came in, our footballers were playing a game locally. And we knew that, like, a lot of our buddies and stuff were going to go and go through a ditch and watch the match. And me and Johnny were like, we better not, because if someone sees us there... And then, like, you know, there's a fucking article written about it or something. We're going to get panned. So we're thinking like that. But then, like, ministers aren't thinking like that. Like, do they think, like, I'll go to this golf thing. Sure, no one will see it.
Yeah, this is the bit we don't understand more. Like, this weekend, a mate of ours rang us and was like, lads, I'm throwing a savage party. We were like, all right. He said, it's going to be about 40 people there. And we were like, no way. We're not going. And they said to him also, like, someone, if we did go, someone would get a photo and that would be out and we'd be ruined. So if we're thinking like that, how are politicians not thinking like that?
Yeah, we're only idiots. Like,
yeah, there was a lot of politicians who went to the golf part of the day, which you're allowed to do. You're allowed golf outdoors. Yeah. And then they're invited to stay on for the dinner, but they didn't because... Whatever, I presume they knew better. It was like, what, one person I think I seen in the papers was Enda Kenny and Dick Spring. They both played golf during the day and then they decided to go home afterwards, you know, and not go to the meal. So, you know, maybe...
Enda Kenny be
maybe
cute.
There's just a... Enda knows the crack, so... Yeah.
So, apart from money, Johnny, what is...
Okay, Johnny Smacks, if you were going to be going for the doll, would you go as part of a party or independent?
Do you know
have to say what party, but like...
Yeah, oh, no. I'm not fucking... I'm not a part of any party here. I would probably go independent.
Why?
Because, like, that's the best way to just, like, make your money, go in there, like... I love the independent TDs. They should, honestly, they should have a reality show, Keeping Up With The Independents. 100%, because I swear to God, those lads are gassed. They're in there roaring and bawling and, like, they do great stuff. Like, if you look at, like Matty, like, you know, our local, he's our local TD, like.
Tipperary,
and everybody kind of likes Matty. Like, I don't know anybody who really, you know, doesn't like.
Well, he's good crack.
Yeah, and he's always around.
He is always around, yeah.
You know, I couldn't tell you... Apart from that, but like...
Yeah, the joke is that there's like 5 Matties.
Yeah.
And then he just sends them out to different events.
Yeah. And we've done a couple of actual skits with him locally and stuff. So he's good to us and we don't mind him. But if you look at him in the Healy Rays and stuff like that...
Yeah, he does sit beside Danny Healy Rays.
That's what I mean. They're like a load of bold lads down the back of class. They're the boys making paper airplanes now.
Do you reckon when the Taoiseach is talking, they're like,
Yeah. They're sticking their fingers up at him behind the desk, you know, so they can't see him. But that's my thing. Like, the independence, it seems like a bit of crack. When you're in a party then, and your party comes under pressure, like, you're a part of that. Mm. And you could be in a party not agreeing with someone. And I have to say, since we started our own business, start working for ourselves and stuff like that here at Two Johnnies, I don't want to listen to any, like, I don't want to kind of conform to anyone else's things and just go along with it for the sake of it. I feel like I found my own voice.
Yeah.
And that's why I think an independent would suit me. Like.
So this is what they call the whip.
Yeah.
So that the everyone in the party, on some issues, would have to all vote the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Or you'd lose the whip. You wouldn't be in the party anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen lads running for TD that I wouldn't let into a house party. So the ideal scenario, if you're an independent, where you want to be is that the government is shagged. They need one or two extra votes and then they come to you and you're like,
oh, you sneaky ministry.
You're like, oh yeah, hate me now, love me later. You're sitting there going, right, I'll vote for your government, but I want a fucking helipad in Clonmel, you know.
I want a bypass in Tiptown.
Oh, you know. Currently there's 37 Fianna Fáil TDs, 37 Sinn Féin, 35 Fine Gael, 12 Green, 6 Labour, 19 Independent, 6 Sock Dem, as they call them, 5 People Before Profit, and 1, I can't quite pronounce, what do they call him? What?
Ain't two?
So. Who's that?
Padder Tobin.
Oh, Padder Tobin.
Yeah.
How are you, Padder? Sorry about that.
We still haven't got to the crux of this thing. Why do they do it? That's what I
want
to know.
Do you want money?
I want money. I want... What are the perks? Like, you know what I mean? We all know the perks in our job. Like, you know, when I was in Super Value, it might have been getting a roll half price. I knew the perks. I knew where I stood. These lads know it too.
Okay, and cash. Ladies. So this expenses scheme for TDs costs the taxpayers about 2.9 million per year. Expenses are decided based on the TD's distance that they have to travel from where they live to Leinster House. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So... Expenses claimed under the TAA scheme are not audited and the allowance is given to TDs other than the Taoiseach and ministers on the basis that they personally attend Leinster House 120 days a year.
Yeah, that was the big question I had.
120 days a year, right? So we have some stats here for you. Between 2016 and 2019, Michael Healy Ray...
Friend of the podcast. I would not have
friend of the podcast. We've had him on... Him and the family probably listening right now, but he got 95 grand in expenses.
Allegedly.
So we hope you're signing up to Patreon, Michael. His brother Danny Healy Ray got about the same. Enda Kenny, 47k. Noel Grealish, 87k. And Micheál Martin, 89k. Taoiseach, Johnny.
Yes.
Taoiseach is allowed an allowance of 118,981.
Why?
About 120 grand.
Yeah, but why isn't this audited? Like, I swear to God.
Same time.
If we have to buy, if we buy batteries for a microphone down here, we have to keep the fucking receipt for the taxman.
They probably have to keep receipts too, like. But sure, they're elected officials. If you can't trust them, who can you trust?
Yeah.
I think you can do audited expenses and non-audited expenses. There's the option. So there's like a lump sum are there. Then you can do just here's my receipts. I think it's maybe it's cheaper to do it just as a lump sum and pay slightly less than rather to pay somebody to go through all these receipts and making sure one plus one equals two. Do you know?
We'll sack the bookkeeper.
Okay. The other one, Johnny.
Yes.
The Taoiseach gets a driver. You always wanted a driver.
Yeah, I know. But you see, the thing is, lad, I'm still in soccer terms here. The Taoiseach's Champions League. The Taoiseach's Man City.
Okay.
If you're propping up the end of the table there and now poor devil on his own, you know, you're not going to get a driver. Like, bar the money. There's not much else with it. Like, where's it? Obviously, the Taoiseach gets a driver. How long is he? Does he just get the driver while he's Taoiseach?
Yeah, I'll go through that with you now, right? So, so Leo Varadkar's car and Garda driver cost 200 grand in 2017. So from 2011, state cars and Garda drivers were no longer available to former Taoiseachs. They were only available for the President, Taoiseach Tánaiste, Justice Minister, Chief Justice and Director of Public Prosecutions. And then other cabinet ministers will no longer be entitled to a state and state car and Garda driver, but they will be able to provide their own cars and are entitled to claim mileage and hire a civilian driver whose salary is paid by the state. So they say that a state car and Garda driver costs roughly 280 grand per year per minister, according to the Department of Finance.
So our Taoiseach gets 120 grand in expenses, 200,000 worth of a car
and driver,
and then gets his wages on top of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he doesn't get the 200 grand. That's just the service. And it probably is. It makes very sense, a lot of sense for him to have that service. Because you think, how many meetings does the Taoiseach have to do during the day? You know,
he shouldn't have to drive.
Yeah, he can't be like trying to find where's the nearest multi-story car park to the Dáil, or, you know.
Should he not?
I don't mind that the Taoiseach has a driver, lad.
What?
He's busy. He's making big decisions. Whoever the Taoiseach is, Taoiseach.
How much is a driver on an hour, lad? He'd get an Uber to follow him around full time for cheaper.
Garda driver. So, yes, whatever a guard gets is their wage. So, and there's probably two guards doing split shifts or something like that.
Could be driving. Taoiseach would have to be anywhere at any time, like.
Yeah. And plus, he probably has a lot of. Yeah, he has a lot of briefing papers to read about, you know, upcoming legislation, stuff that's going on, who's new Minister for Agriculture is going to be, that kind of thing. So.
Yeah, week to week. Pensions, Johnny. Yeah. Right, TDs who are elected to the Dáil before 2004 can qualify for a lump sum at the age of 50.
You know I'm not going on pensions, lad. I'm all about right now.
People elected after that, you have to be 65 to get it, right? Politicians who serve as ministers are entitled to a pension paid from the Department of Finance, as well as a separate Oireachtas pension for their service as a TD or senator. We'll get back to senators. When the two are combined, the figure can be in excess of 100 grand. Now, I text our accountant and I said, is this taxable? And he replied to me, yeah, tax PRSI and USC would probably bring it over 50%.
Okay.
But he said, I'm sure they probably have rental property incomes and other incomes too. Don't be worrying about them. They'll be all right. He said, I enjoyed your TV show. Smacks' sore hole was the highlight. So we heard on the street that former Taoiseachs have a guard outside their house 24/7.
Yeah.
We heard this. We couldn't confirm this. Maura, were you able to confirm that? No?
My understanding is it's true, yeah. That they have somebody permanently. It's just an entitlement. I think there was one Taoiseach, was it Donal O'Malley, who turned it down completely. He never, could be wrong in that, but there was somebody who turned it down and said, no, I don't want a guard outside my house. But
lads, if you were Bertie Hearn,
you'd want a guard outside your house. Let's be honest about it. Yeah, let's be honest. Yeah.
Former Taoiseach Bertie Hearn was entitled to a ministerial pension of 81 grand, along with his Oireachtas pension of 53 grand, which brought his total annual payments to 130,000.
Yeah.
And it's no longer possible to find out former Taoiseach's pension due to GDPR.
Oh, clever move.
Nicely played.
Clever move. They've done us again.
What about the Shannon, lad?
Do you know what? I swear to God, I don't mean to sound uneducated here, right? Like, I've been to college and stuff like that.
I went for a look.
I don't know what the Shannon is, I gotta be honest. Right now, I think I understand. You know that ad, I don't know what a tracker mortgage is? Well, I don't know what the Shannon is. It seems like the boys debate it for ages and then send it up to these lads, and they pretty much just pass whatever the fuck gets sent to them anyway. Am I right?
I wouldn't say that. So, like, most democracies have two houses of parliament. So there's, you know,
higher and lower one house.
Yeah. And then the Shannon is where kind of legislation really gets thrashed out and amendments are made and that kind of thing.
Well, would it not make more sense just cut down to one?
No.
Well,
there could be a lot of detail, and the Shannon would be hammering out the detail.
Okay.
Like, if the Dáil were to debate a specific rule and everyone was have to say it, would take forever.
Yeah, okay.
Maura?
Yeah, I'd kind of Like, we did have a vote a couple of years to abolish the Seanad, and it ended up that the Seanad was retained. People did want that extra level of, you know, scrutiny when it comes to legislation being passed, because, you know, the,
we didn't trust it
you
all.
Know, bad legislation could be very damaging to certain people, you know? I wouldn't have an issue with it. But going back to just before we... Yeah. The pensions, like, I think what irks a lot of people is that politicians become entitled to their pensions straight away as soon as their political career ends, not when they turn 65, 66, 67 or whatever. And that annoys a lot of people. So you could have somebody who retires as a minister at 40 and next thing they're on this really nice pension for the rest of their life. So
yeah, luckily there isn't too many of them. Most Irish politicians are well into their 50s, aren't they?
Yeah. I have to be honest, lads, we're only 15 minutes in on this. I'm still not finding anything other than cash to make me want to be a politician. You know, does it make you feel good when you get a medical card for someone? Or, you know, maybe it does, but like, are you dealing directly with that then if you're a TD? You're probably not someone in your office is looking after it. And just, I know we're going to wrap this up shortly. How many people am I allowed to employ? Okay, I'm after getting elected, right? Johnny Smacks, independent, you know, vote for two Johnnies, one chair. You know what I mean? That would probably be the motto.
You'd be running on the price of chicken rolls.
Yeah, basically, yeah. Am I allowed to employ people?
Yes, you are.
How many? Two, is it? Two people?
I think it is.
So is it two people, Maura?
Yeah, you get a parliamentary assistant. And there's usually a lot of controversy over that because quite a lot of people employ family members to do that parliamentary assistant job. Parliamentary assistants get paid about 50 grand a year. And then I think you get an allowance towards having an office in your home constituency.
Okay.
But I know usually politicians go to like rent an office in the main town and then have like their picture on the window and a big, you know, sign up saying TD office, you know.
Yeah. Young lads go around drawing penises on it. I know.
Yeah.
Smacks, if you're in the Seanad, the basic salary is 68k.
Listen, I always said the Seanad was a fantastic idea.
But so, just getting to the Seanad, 11 are nominated by the Taoiseach. He gets to pick a whole soccer team.
His worth buddies.
Of senator. Yeah, 6 by graduates of certain universities. 43 elected from 5 special panels of nominees by an electorate consisting of TDs, outgoing senators and members of city councils. So you or I cannot vote for the Seanad.
Yeah, I find that weird in that we vote for our TDs and then, you know, they pass it to the Seanad.
Yeah, like, so Trinity have...
Who we don't vote for.
Trinity have a senator.
Yeah.
So if you're like alumni, you can sign up and have a vote.
Yeah, but they're not going to be worried about not having a yellow box junction down outside the castle.
That's not their job.
Politics. Who do it, lads? Do you know what?
You do get some interesting people being elected to the Seanad. So there is Senator Eileen Flynn, who is the first female traveller to be serving the Oireachtas. You also have somebody like Lynn Rowan, who was like a mother at 15. She got elected as the senator on a Trinity panel. So, you know, it's a bit more interesting way of getting people into politics rather than, it's very hard to get elected, I think, as a local TD unless you're, you know, from a GA family and you have loads of personal connections and, you know, your wife is a nurse and, you know, that kind of thing.
I'd love to just open this out to any politicians who by chance are actually listening to this podcast. If you're into, like, you know, pissing dildos, I don't know. Like, if you are listening to this podcast, we'll have a TD on here and we don't want to talk about, like, all the great things you've done. We want to know why.
Lad, I've seen politicians out on the road and people come up and just start screaming at them.
Yeah.
And then they post a video on Facebook and everyone is like, fair play, Mary. Give him a piece of your mind. He's only a bastard. Do you know? Yeah. That is hard to take. At the end of the day, politicians are still technically human.
Yeah. So if any ex-TD or TD wants to come on here and tell us why you do it, we'll happily have you on and hear you out.
Yeah, and we'll pre-record a load of angry people
And just play it in your ears.
Yeah, see how you react.
And I just want to say as well, I hope that didn't come across as bashing, because that's not what we're trying to do. But we're trying to figure out why.
Yeah, because look, there's people listening going, there's a lot of things wrong with the country. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have a reason to be angry.
Yeah.
But
For sure.
You know?
It's not getting any better, is it?
You know, 68K for being in the Shannon, lads. It's not bad.
I wish I went to Trinity. He shed a little tear this week when his 6-year-old granddaughter went back to school because he had to milk the cows himself. It's time for Noel Furlong, and it's time for Noel's News.
Noel's News! It's Noel's News!
I know what that.
What's the story?
Here comes the celebrity.
Oh, hey!
Just because you're on the telly now.
Yeah,
going around the place thinking you're Pete Finnerty.
Huh? Pete Finnerty?
Huh? The big TV show.
Yeah. Did you watch it?
No, I actually got stung in my left eye by a wasp.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah.
A wasp.
I got stung in my eyeball by a wasp.
God almighty.
So I had no vision in my left eye, so I only seen half it.
Very good.
Seen the right half.
What did you think?
Well, that bit was good now.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back and watch the left half during the week.
Did you go to the doctor?
No, I went to the vet. Get the wasp put down. I don't like doctors.
Why?
I don't like doctors. No. In the gas, everyone who goes to the doctor gets sick.
No, I think...
No, riddle me that one.
I think it's every...
Riddle me that one, right? Doctor come up to me. Oh, no. He said, give up the fags. I said, shut up, you nerd. Fuck do you know about it? How do you know about fags? I said, I think I'm going to listen to people who actually make cigarettes, not some fella who never smoked a fag in his life. What do you know about it?
Not a wise decision.
I was talking to, I met our, you know the old lad, Jimmy the Hooch. You know him, he's walking around with a walking stick. A small fella, glasses, white-haired man.
I know him, yeah.
He's about 37. He said fags had no effect on him. Cameron was on to me. First she said, I have to stop smoking during sex. She said the ash was scalding the back of her. Then I had to stop smoking when in the hospital when she was giving birth. Now, for the first few, I'd be sitting in the corner of the room. I'd be cheering her on.
Yeah.
Give an old G up.
Whoa.
I'd say, go on, Camel. Fucking drive him out. Get out of that fanny. Then she said I couldn't smoke in there. No, when she said I wasn't allowed to bring dormant, I said, it's all the fucking one now. No point in me going. You know, I said, I'm starting to think you don't want me here at all. Well, we picked up our bag of cans and we marched out of there. I tell you that. I know when I'm not welcome. Don't want to overstay. I didn't go with any more of them.
Did you not?
I said, let me know when they're ready to work. Until then, I don't want to know.
Oh, jeez.
And now we have grandkids.
Yeah.
And you said it. Our little Eve, she's only 6, back to school. I had to milk the fucking cows myself. Like, I only got into him because she was idle. She can't do him after school either. She's drawing corn all week. It's a joke, crack.
And she'd be able to manage even at 6.
Oh, yeah, come on. She's no dunce. She's half one of mine, sure. She has the drop.
The drop.
She has the drop.
The drop.
The blood.
Okay.
She has the breeding. There were talks of homeschool. We were doing that for a while during the lockdown.
Mm.
We were singing old songs, you know. Mary had a little lamb. I took him to the factory. Mary wasn't very pleased, but she's still at the Calvary. So they're trying to kill an old fella like me now. All the work. I said to John Paul as well, I said, are you not going back to school? And he said, Dad, come on. I finished school when I was 12. I was like, oh yeah. Remember, you told me if I stayed in school, the Russians were going to get me? And did the Russians get him? No. You're welcome. I remember actually I fed all his, I used all his school books for bedding for the dogs.
Did you?
I'd say they got as much use out of him as he was getting. Hold on. Now, international news. I'm an international man.
Good man. Man of mystery.
Is seaweed the food of the future? No. End of report. But the Faroe Islands, which is above Scotland there, but technically part of Denmark.
Yeah.
But if a rabbit has its burrow in the wires, but I shoot it on my land, who ate the soup? Well, it didn't the fox. Faroe Islands, they're making a big push at growing seaweed. Seaweed, who gives a shit, I hear you say, right? But it could be the food of the future. They've done a lot of studies, they did, whoever they are, and they said it's very eco-friendly. They have the nutrients from the water and the energy of the sun.
Wow.
And they have big ropes and things hanging off a life buoy, and the seaweed grows on it. And they use it in food and in all your beauty products, such as toothpaste. It thickens up the toothpaste. That's seaweed.
Wow.
Now, I don't use toothpaste. I tried mouthwash once. Did you ever do it?
Yeah, mouthwash, yeah.
Jesus, that after 3 or 4 bottles, I was nearly sick. Normally, when I be drinking bottles, like I'd be going through them like an under 12 full back line. With pace.
You're not supposed to drink them.
With pace. I would learn them. There'd be no tang off them now.
Yeah, mint.
I wouldn't be mad about it. But the Faroe Islands, they have deep fjords that are ideal for growing seaweed.
Fjords.
So watch out, spud farmers.
Seaweed's coming.
Yeah. I had a lovely spud the other day.
Where?
At home, in the kitchen. What are you?
Okay, sorry, it's actually in a restaurant.
Mount Fuji. Yeah, where do you think I had a lovely spud?
Maybe the Shamrock.
No, well, there too, yeah. But I tell you, new spuds are my favourite.
Are they?
New spuds, yeah. The only thing is, you'd break your neck climbing the wire fence to get them. I tell you, if this keeps up, I'm going to have to start buying them. Local news. Local news for local men and women. Local news. The headline is, Mary Tobin has a massive bush. I was down in Ballysniff.
Ballysniff. How apt.
I had to knock a tree for Ryan. And I had to pull Mary Tobin aside. I had to call her. Say, Mary, your bush has gone wild. For a respectable woman like Mary to have such an unkept bush. And all the neighbours were talking about it. Like, you know, once one person sees it, they're all talking about Mary's bush. It's massive. I said, 'tis no wonder Timmy can't get in. Now, I offered to trim it for her.
Did you?
And she said, I can trim my own bush. Thank you, Noel Furlong.
Oh.
Well, I passed the next day when Smokey Walsh was at it with a hatchet. He was hacking away at her bush. I said, Smokey, you know it's her first time. But I think she's going to put in the beach hedge for a finish. She's taking out the bush altogether. I said, Timmy, they've no bother getting in now. With the trailer. Okay?
Yeah, okay.
That'll do. Local news.
Will you watch the TV show next week?
Yeah, I'm hoping to have both eyes functioning. Yeah.
Any word on Messi?
Who?
Messi.
Who's that?
Remember last week you were talking about trying to get him on a transfer?
No, I was actually fairly steamboat last week.
You don't remember?
I seen the video, I don't remember it at all. No.
Jesus.
I can remember things that never happened at all.
Good man.
Maura, hope your bush is in good nick as well.
Thanks for the concern, Noel, it's grand.
Yeah, I'll send you stacks up to trim it there if you want. I'd say he having hands to wipe his nose this time. Okay, go on to TV. Good luck.
Thank you. She loves us really, but looking after us is making her reconsider having children. Maura, what is your mystery topic this week?
Thought we'd go a bit retro. How about we deep dive back to the Tinder Chronicles?
Oh. Okay.
And I thought I'd better bring it up before he absolutely roasts me on 30 seconds of truth. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I've been off Tinder for a while, right? Mm-hmm. I said back in the podcast, I think late November, December, I was seeing someone. That relationship mm-hmm. went pretty much tits up after that. So
sorry to
shot
hear that.
Myself in the foot anyway. Then I reconnected with someone that I had gone on a Tinder date previously, and it's been all good since kind of January, and then lockdown happened, and that was weird. Oh. But luckily he lived locally, but he's been gone since June, and he will be back next week. So yeah.
As Noel said, Mara.
As Paddy Fong would say,
whoop, whoop.
She would if she got it.
Yeah. Now, I can't say too much because his mother listens to this podcast. So
I'm sorry,
that's not
Mammy.
Awkward. Yeah, but I would have to say 2020 and all has been a seriously weird year for dating someone, because it's all like, oh, can we go for a date and we'll go to this restaurant and we'll stay for 2 hours and we'll have drinks. And then it's like, oh, let's just go to a lake and have a bag of cans. It's a weird time. And then, do you remember we did the podcast and all the like normal relationship milestones? It's like, oh, you meet the friends at this stage and you meet the mother at that stage. Like, that's all gone out the window because you really can't meet new people. It's very,
yeah.
Very weird and stressful. But I want to know. Sorry, there is a point to this.
Do you know what? And you're dancing around it as well, which is just scaring me even more now.
What are your tips for people in long distance relationships? Because if I'd have known what I know now and how pent up I am now, I would have invested in some sort of diddlo. I would have absolutely, no shame in saying it.
I know even some though, fella who can mold you one.
It'll end of a Mickey first.
I don't know. I'm a bit like, think that they might be, diddlos might be, you know, like those 90 calorie packets of crisps. But you really want the real thing. You want the 264 yeah. calories, hunky dory, salt and vinegar. It's just not the same. But look at.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So a friend of ours is living in a different continent, kind of semi long term. And he's talking to his missus and he was telling us, she said to him one day, what are you doing for that, you know, relief? And he said, look, sure, I watch a bit of porn. You know what I mean? You're on a different continent.
Yeah.
Watching a bit of porn. And then they were chatting away and she's like, what are you watching? And he was like, you know, just a bit of this, bit of that. He was trying to fluff it, you know? And then she was like, no, I mean, like, who would you be watching? Who would you be watching? And then eventually he was like, he dropped a name. And then I think the girlfriend was Googling the one and was like, that one, really, she does it for you, does she? Yeah.
Ooh.
Got mega awkward.
Shit.
So I think in a long distance relationship, everybody gonna have to be cool.
Yeah.
No, honey, I'm just tossing myself off to your Facebook.
Yeah. I'm just closing my eyes and I'm thinking of you.
Just dreaming of you. Yeah. Walking around the lake.
Yeah, the best one I heard was like, yeah, I'm looking at their bodies, but I'm thinking of your face. It's like...
It's a tough one, Mara. Long distance, I don't know myself, but I'm sure it can be hard, like, you know what I mean?
Well, like, if 2020 had gone the way we thought it would have, you probably would have only seen Annie twice before the wedding this year with your schedule.
Yeah, with the way our schedule was going, yeah. And it can be tough, like, but, like... Yeah, I don't know. I was going to say I have Johnny, but like not in that way. I mean, like I have Johnny to keep me busy. You know what I mean? Not
I have soft hands.
Obviously, you know what? Johnny just puts a wig on. No.
I guess long distance relationship, you're going to be FaceTiming each other a lot, texting each other a lot.
Yeah, but this whole thing of like, you know, cyber sex and them like, you know, I don't think, like, if you're abroad living in a different country, you'd hardly be like, okay, Friday night now we're going to get frisky over the phone, like video call. Because I don't trust anybody, let alone the people who make phones. Anything you put up is going to end up somewhere. So be like, you know, I'd be just freaking out.
Well,
like,
you think Vladimir Putin has your wank videos?
Could have.
Well, you're trying to have like video sex, and then there's probably a lag in the internet, and it's just who's on the Zoom call? Who's?
I imagine.
Oh, could you give yourself a cool background? Yeah. Oh, she's in space. Yeah. Nice. Oh no, you're in the Alps.
Loads of cartoon sperm in the background. You're just sitting there, like. But like,
it's a big Fortnite blocks mind.
I can't speak on behalf of Irish women, but I know from the few girls I know, I don't think they'd be confident doing anything like that.
Yeah,
like video. You know what I mean? Let's get real here. Like,
a lot of people be very shy.
Yeah, they're not porn stars. Like, I think that would be a bit odd. What's he doing in a long-term relationship? I don't know.
Yeah,
to say absolutely makes the heart grow fonder, but like, I can guarantee any fella that's in a long distance relationship, he's on the hand pump.
Absence makes the knob grow harder. Yeah.
I think
Mara,
the thing,
like, go on. Yeah,
well, like, no, just say like women like doing the FaceTiming like sexting thing, it's like you're looking at yourself. You don't want to be looking at yourself when you're, you know, doing stuff, you know, make sure that the camera angle is good and the lighting is good. And, you know, it's like nobody wants to watch their own sex tape. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Maura, do you have any tips for having gone through it now?
God.
Exercise regularly.
Yeah. Like, channel cold your showers. Frustration into other things like yoga. Like, I have gotten very flexible. I've been
you're
downward
actually tantric.
Dogs.
Woo!
Yeah, I think if you're going to do it, long distance relationship, it's kind of a good test of whether or not you're very mentally compatible, because you end up having really long conversations on the phone. It is good. I don't know how anybody does a long distance relationship for longer than 4 months without seeing one another. I think that's tough. Like, I just...
Yeah.
I think you'd be just better off breaking up and, you know, getting back together whenever you're in the same location. So
yeah, I'd probably agree with you there. I can't see a long term relationship, or sorry, a long distance relationship lasting long term. I think, like, if work permits or something, and you're like, look, I'm away for a couple of months, that's grand. Like, you know, most relationships, you'd probably be solid enough if you were together a while that you'd be like, look, I'm gone there for 3 months or I'll be back. But I mean, if you're gone indefinitely with no sign of a return date, the phone ain't going to cut. And Pornhub ain't going to cut either.
There's a lot of people out there, like, I know a lot of lads working on oil rigs and stuff who are just going to be gone for 3 months regularly, like.
Oh, it'd be tough. I don't think I'd be able for that all the time.
See, but it's good money, so maybe Yuan is like, maybe she doesn't actually like the fella that much, but maybe it's kind of like, well, he pays the rent and buys me nice things, and then I only have to put up with him 2 weeks before he's away 3 weeks or for 3 months ago.
Yeah, very sinister, Maura.
Yeah,
Maura,
sorry. What do you mean, the one? This one's about you.
Okay, Maura, we're gonna end it there before you maybe dig yourself a hole that you can't get out of. Thanks, Maura. Enjoy that. Don't forget to rate, review, and tell your friends about the Two Johnnies podcast. Use the hashtag #2Johnniespod, that's the number 2, to spread the good word. And also make sure you tune into our TV show and use the hashtag #2JohnniesDoAmerica.
Yeah, drop a few tweets and we'll tweet you back. And remember, if you're listening to today's podcast and it's your first time, go back to the start, lads. It's much better and it'll make more sense if you start from the start.
Yeah, there's some storylines that you really need to hear from the beginning. Now, finally, it's Yurt and Dirt time. And don't forget that Yurt and Dirt this week is brought to you by the good people at 48. They are changing up mobile. And you can find out how over on 48.ie. And the best news is they're giving 5 lucky listeners each week the chance to win a 6-month free 48 mobile SIM. That's 6 months. No bills, lads.
Sound.
To be in with a chance of winning, all you have to do is send us in your yurt using the hashtag yurt48. That's Y-U-R-T-4-8. And just use that in any of your favorite social media platforms, Insta, Twitter, Facebook, the whole lot. Just throw it up in your status. And the good people of 48, they'll see it from there. So, Johnny, what have you got?
I'm just going to roll all of mine into one. There has been a TikTok house created in Ireland. So TikTok is a social media platform. People make funny videos and put them up. And they've created a house where a load of creators are living together. And it's getting absolutely slated by everybody online. And I've been kind of busy doing my own thing. And I'm not quite sure why it's getting slated. I'm going to have to be honest. All that I can pick up is that Irish people are like, oh, that's a bit cringe. But like, we're Irish. We think Everton bar drinking. Everything else is cringe. There's about five things. I think like the toy show, Me Hall or Mer Hurtig. You know, sideline cuts. Everything else is cringe. So are you getting it? I'm not sure what the issue is.
Yeah, I don't really know. It's
not everyone's cup of tea.
No, it's not. But like, don't be going out of your way to bash it. Like, just get on with your own stuff. Like, we were doing an interview with someone during the week, and you said we don't worry about what we can't do. We worry about what we can do. I think that's like you said it in an interview, and I was looking at you going, "That's where did he? What book did he read that in?" But I totally get it. Like, don't be worrying about what someone else is doing. Just paddle your own canoe.
Maura, are you following this TikTok story?
Yeah, I just think they missed a trick. I seen somebody said it on Twitter, is why didn't they not call the mansion TikTok?
Oh, genius. We did get an email about it, actually.
Yeah, we got someone approached us. So my main one then is, I don't know if you saw this story about a week ago, an influencer / blogger was making a booking in a restaurant and was like, do you have an influencer rate? And the restaurant were like, no, we don't. And then they put this on Twitter and they didn't name the lady. And then I think a news outlet followed up and made a call. So it is an Irish influencer who has more than 100,000 followers. And when they asked her about it, she said, well, I was going to bring my own professional photographer and post about it, which would be really good for the business. And a lot of people said, shame on her that she's nailing, she's trying to screw, you know, a small business. Can I give an alternative take?
Of course.
If you've got over 100,000 followers on Instagram and you're post, and if she was going to post a photo, if that was a brand, she'd be getting anywhere from 1 to 10,000 euro, depending on the her brand value.
Yeah, so if the restaurant came to her and said, would you do a post about our restaurant?
And if she was the kind of person who didn't take ads that often and only did high value stuff, she'd probably be getting anywhere from 1 to 10 grand.
Yeah.
She's asked for an influencer discount. Like, what's the maximum discount you're talking about? Half price?
50, yeah, probably 50%.
And a meal for two in a Dublin restaurant?
200 quid, 100 max, like.
Max.
Yeah.
So she is suggesting that she gives them, let's say, what she would consider 1,000 euro worth of advertising for a half price meal. Mm. And just given that's her perspective on it. Yeah. And they said no. And apparently she said, grand, no bother. So I don't understand why people are going ballistic. And when I started this story, I heard you sigh / tut. So I would like to get your opinion on it.
There was also a similar story about 2 months. 6 weeks ago, about an influencer who contacted a Greek restaurant asking for an influencer rates meal or a free meal or something like that, and the restaurant said no, but if you want to come have a meal, we will provide a meal for a homeless person free of charge. And I think that's their stock answer to every influencer who contacts them. There are a lot of English influencers contact them when they're going over to Greece, and no influencer has ever taken them up on that offer. So, I don't know. Like, I do understand it, but I do think at the same time, if I was running a restaurant, like, influencers, depending on the influencer, I'd say their age range of their audience is what people, 15 to 24, maybe early 30. They're not people who go to a restaurant. Do you know, like, they're not
people. Depends on the influencer.
Yeah. But like, people who spend money in restaurants, it's what? People in their 30s, 40s, 50s, older, who actually have the cash and they don't mind spending a meal at 200. They don't mind paying for, you know, a nice bottle of wine. They're not students. They're not people who are trying to get their deposit together for their first house or whatever. So I don't think it was worth the restaurant paying for a free meal if that influencer wasn't going to target the right demographic for them.
Yeah, you know? I think it can depend on the restaurant and the influencer. You know, some will fit, some won't. I think don't make a big deal about it. Like,
I thought there was no need for the restaurant to tweet it now.
Yeah, like we've got good following and stuff like that, but I don't think we've never really used it.
No, I would never do that. Yeah, I would never ring and say. But if I went to a restaurant, so sometimes people can be unclear. If I went somewhere and then went up to pay, and they were like, "No, that's on the house," I would say, "Oh my god, thanks a million." Mm. But like, I'm not going to offer to put up a photo.
Yeah, yeah.
And if they had come to me and said, "Hey, would you like a free meal for two if you put up a photo," I would have to say, "No, we actually don't do that."
Yeah, yeah, well, yeah, we don't do that. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's not why people follow you. They follow you for funny content. They're not, you know, you're not like lifestyle influencers where you're like, "Here's what I bought today. Here's what I did up the sitting room. Like, here's what, you know, my children did today." You know, you're not that. So I don't think people expect it from you. And it'd be weird to see that in your Instagram story.
I think it depends
like
on
to see what Johnny Smacks is wearing.
I think it depends on the restaurant too. Listen, if that's an established restaurant and they've got loads of clientele, their bookings are constantly in, you know, and they're doing well, they don't need that influencer thing. Yeah. But if they're a restaurant starting off and, you know, an influencer could help them massively, then that's grand. But I think
I think it was wrong to tweet it. I do think you're right. But like during the week, I had to go down. This sounds way more glamorous than it was, but believe me, it wasn't. I had to go down and scout a filming location in Cork. And I had to go to different locations, different whatever, deal with people, you know, running these hotels, blah, blah, blah. They are so stressed out at the minute. And, you know, I was there taking up their time, asking a bunch of questions. Can we do that? And like, in the nicest possible way, they were a little bit blunt with me, a little bit curt with me because I wanted certain things and that. But I was fine with that because I'm like, you're trying to run a business in a time where the regulations are constantly changing and making it so hard for you to actually run your business efficiently and not give you massive overhead. So I just think that particularly like the hotel and catering industry and people running pubs, I think we just have to give them a benefit of sack because there is no way I could work as a waiter or a waitress at the minute going round wearing a mask over your face, people not being able to understand or take your order because the mask is muffling your voice. It's like not to be a buzzkill or anything like that, but I just think we need to be a little bit nicer. So
I think everyone's a bit tender at the moment. And like, even the whole influencer thing, that we've heard a couple of like bad stories from about influencers and stuff like that. And that's probably the stuff that people remember. So that's probably why the restaurant were pissed off as well. It's hard to know. But
I'm just saying, if the two Johnnies kept going to a particular restaurant and put up a few posts, I think that would be worth more than €100 worth of local newspaper advertising.
Yeah. Probably would work better. I've got no dirt this week. It's hard to find a dirt in a week like this.
Sorry, if people have an opinion on that last one, let me know.
Yeah,
throw a few fucks into me. Go on.
Johnny wants to have it out with you. My yurt is, of course, the launch of the TV show and we got the ratings and the success of it and stuff like that. And we're really happy. There's three more weeks to come. And we just want to thank everyone who's followed this podcast almost from the beginning. Everyone who listens every week. And everyone who's followed us on social media. It's only 3 years this weekend nearly since we gave up our jobs, and it's mad to think what we've done, and there's no way to be possible without people following us and listening to our podcast, and it's everybody there that got us here. So thanks very much to y'all.
We love you.
It's been a great week and we're off now to
I feel like we're representing everyone.
Yeah,
I feel like we're letting everyone see behind the curtain.
Yeah, and yeah, come along on the ride with us. We're only getting going. We're off now to actually drink Guinness. That's exactly where we're going.
We're getting a tap in.
Yeah, we're getting a tap in. So
not,
for me,
not getting paid for that mention.
No. But if Guinness are
only messing.
From me, Johnny Smacks.
From me, Johnny B.
From me, Maura.
See you next week, or see you on the telly if we don't. Go on. Good luck.
Good luck.